Elon Musk overlays every corner of the Earth with internet through Starlink. This is Brief Before Impact. Hey, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining me this evening. I am Matt Parker. Happy Halloween to all those who are celebrating it. I hope your kids are jacked up on sugar and candy, just like mine is, even though she's passed out for the evening and asleep. So what we're going to be talking about today is Starlink. If you're not familiar with that, that is a satellite system created by Elon Musk and his company, wanting to touch every part of the Earth with high-speed internet. We're going to walk through, number one, what Starlink is, how it works, etc. Secondly, the implications on foreign policy, looking at Ukraine as an example, as well as other territories. And lastly, asking the question if Starlink and Elon Musk are coordinating efforts with the American national security apparatus. Before we jump into all that, let me take a quick ad break, and then we'll get to work. Welcome back, everyone. So let's dive into what Starlink actually is, how it works, and what this means for satellites in space. This is according to TechTarget.com. Starlink is a satellite constellation system, and it aims to deliver global internet coverage. This system is ideally suited for rural and geographically isolated areas where internet connectivity is unreliable or non-existent. So a SpaceX initiative to create a global broadband network, Starlink uses a constellation of low Earth orbit satellites to provide high-speed internet services. SpaceX, it's more formally known as Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, it's a privately held rocket and spacecraft company that Elon Musk founded in 2002. So how does Starlink work? Well, Starlink operates on a satellite internet service technology that's existed for decades, and instead of using cable technology such as fiber optics to transmit internet data, a satellite system uses radio signals through the vacuum of space. Ground stations broadcast signals to satellites in orbits, which in turn relay the data back to Starlink users on Earth. Each satellite is in Starlink constellation, weighs 573 pounds, and has a flat body. One SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket can fit up to 60 satellites. The goal of Starlink is to create a low latency network in space that facilitates edge computing on Earth. The challenge of creating a global network in outer space, it's not a small one, especially because low latency is an important demand. SpaceX has proposed a constellation of almost 42,000 tablet-sized satellites circling the globe in low orbit to meet that demand. The CubeSats, miniature satellites commonly used in LEO, create tight network coverage, and their low Earth orbit produces low latency. So, well, how fast are these internet speeds from Starlink? It offers unlimited high-speed data through an array of small satellites that delivers about 150 megabytes per second of internet speed. SpaceX does plan to double that rate just in the upcoming year. So how much does it cost? Well, Starlink offers a few different packages. The one that most of us might be interested in, just Starlink Internet, that package is geared towards that residential use and costs about $110 a month, plus the one-time charge of just putting in the hardware is of $600. Now, Starlink is available, providing service into over 36 countries with limited coverage areas. In the United States, the company plans to expand coverage to the rest of the continental U.S. by the end of 2023. Although a few countries like Pakistan, India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka are all marked as coming soon on Starlink's coverage map, Starlink has no plans to offer services to several countries, including Russia, China, Cuba, and North Korea. So lastly, how many Starlink satellites are actually in space? Well, as of July of 2022, SpaceX had launched 53 satellites in what was the 33rd Starlink launch of 2022. This follows a successful launch on July 22nd of this year, in which 46 Starlink satellites went into orbit. So far, the company has launched almost 3,000 satellites in low Earth orbit. And just to give you some perspective, I did an episode some time back talking about space as like the next frontier for like warfare and etc. And I believe the number I mentioned was there are currently 7,500 satellites floating, orbiting around Earth. Half of those were actually, still operational, right? So 7,500 satellites are up above us orbiting planet Earth. Half of them are operational. This, so far, Starlink alone as a company has launched 3,000 satellites into low Earth orbit. And they're going to do even more. This is extraordinary. As far as I understand, Starlink is launching like one rocket per week. I think every Wednesday they send up a rocket. And I just read you earlier that one of these rockets can carry, 50 plus satellites? This is extraordinary. At that rate, they could easily get up to several thousand satellites to provide this high-speed internet around the world. So now that you kind of understand what Starlink is, how it operates, let's talk about real-world case systems and how it's been utilized in geopolitics. And if I can jog your memory, just with the earlier this year with the invasion of Russia into Ukraine, the vice prime minister of Ukraine, okay, so this is like number two or three in terms of Ukrainian government, he asked Elon Musk to get Starlink internet service to Ukraine, and Elon responded like 10 hours later that it was done. Now, this is a cool. Here's how the vice prime minister connected with Elon Musk. Naturally, he sent Elon Musk a tweet. So it says, "At Elon Musk, while you try to colonize Mars, Russia tries to occupy Ukraine. While your rockets successfully land from space, Russian rockets attack Ukrainian civil people. We ask you to provide Ukraine with Starlink stations and to address sane Russians to stand." Okay. Elon Musk, within 10 hours, replied, "Starlink service is now active in Ukraine. More terminals en route." That is an extraordinary exchange. Think about this. First of all, you have a very high-ranking government official of Ukraine tweeting the richest man on Earth, and he actually responding to it. Not only that, this is a geopolitical engagement between a private individual / multi-billionaire and a nation state. It's not Ukraine to United States, not Biden talking to Zelensky. No, this is the Ukrainian government talking to a private American citizen. Quite extraordinary. More extraordinary is the flexibility. Elon Musk responds that, "Roger that, we got terminals en route, more on the way." This is an incredible story of just the private sector meeting public demand of the tools and resources they created. So really, why does Ukraine need Starlink? Let me read you some data according to visitukraine.today. The Minister of Digital Transformation of the country, Mykolo Fedorov, emphasized that Starlink played an important role in the rapid restoration of communication in critical places and deoccupied territories. For example, when mobile communication system or internet cables were damaged or destroyed just as a result of missile attacks, Starlink is also used by the Ukrainian military on the battlefield. Satellite internet signals cannot be jammed like regular radio signals, and the satellite internet kit only takes like 15 minutes to set up. So the armed forces there in Ukraine, they can use Starlink for stable and operational communication between the headquarters and the military at the front. There was a little bit hiccup recently, though. Elon Musk said that he's going to have to stop allowing Starlink to operate in Ukraine. It was in early October, so it's just in the last few weeks that Musk shared on his Twitter that there were some proposals for peace in Ukraine and thoughts on how the war could end. Musk proposed to hold a new referendum on the territories occupied by Russia under the auspices of the United Nations, giving Crimea to Russia and ensuring its water supply. And he offered Ukraine to have neutral status. So just before I go on, again, think about this for a moment. Richest man on Earth, private citizen here in the United States, is engaging in diplomacy, frankly, at the highest of levels. Even if it's via a tweet, just it is his influence. It's profound. And obviously, as I'm sure you all know, Musk did just purchase Twitter like in the last few days. All right, continuing on. Musk did justify such actions, the actions of this referendum, by the fact that the population of Russian Federation is approximately three times larger than the population of Ukraine. Therefore, in his opinion, the victory of the Ukrainians in this war is, quote, unlikely. The reaction of Musk's followers in the social network did not make them wait. The businessman was answered by high-ranking politicians, including the president of Ukraine, experts, cultural figures, and just ordinary folks. Instead, Musk replied that since the full-scale invasion of the Russian Federation into Ukraine, he had transferred $80 million worth of Starlink to Ukrainians, and that he refused to pay any further. He offered the U.S. government continued payment. However, the billionaire just later changed his mind and declared that he would continue to finance Starlink communication satellites in Ukraine. Quote, to hell with it. While Starlink is still losing money and other companies are getting billions of taxpayer dollars, we'll just keep funding the Ukrainian government for free. End quote. That's what he tweeted. So again, Musk was clearly frustrated that his proposal via Twitter for some kind of negotiated peace settlement was not, I guess, taken up by the powers to be. So he's like, I'm just not going to pay for Starlink anymore. And then he changed his mind a little bit later. Said, all right, fine. I'll keep paying for it. So it's a fascinating thing to witness this modern geopolitical event between nation states, Russia and Ukraine, and a private citizen and his company with extraordinary power and influence over the world being right slab dab in the middle of it. It's incredible. Now, that's just Ukraine, though. In most more recent days, there's been talk on how Starlink can provide internet to certain citizens in different parts of the world where there are challenging geopolitical scenarios, especially those countries who are not allies of the United States. And this is according to an article from The Hill written by Mark Whittington. He is the author of Space Exploration Studies and a book titled Why Is It So Hard to Go Back to Space, as well as several others about this topic. So this is definitely his area of expertise. And he writes that Elon Musk had won some fame for providing Starlink internet services to Ukraine. Plans are underway to give the same access to the orbiting communications constellation to dissidents currently protesting the theocratic regime in Iran. Despite Musk starting a bit of a dust-up over who should ultimately pay for those services, talking about in Ukraine, the point is that a space-based telecommunications service like Starlink is a crucial weapon in the war against tyranny. It's time for the United States to use the power of Starlink to deliver space-based information to anywhere on Earth to extend its reach to Russia. No technology has greater power to not only end the Russian President Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine, but to end his tyrannical and ruinous rule. The National Review recently published a very lengthy proposal to bring pressure to bear against Putin's Russia, using the same strategy that President Ronald Reagan employed to bring down the Soviet Union and to win the Cold War. It describes the information war, noting, quote, to increase domestic pressure on Putin, the U.S. should launch a massive covert information campaign targeting the Russian public via computer screens, television, radio, and print to make the name Alexei Navalny and other Russian dissidents known in every Russian home. It should also make every Russian aware of Putin's hundreds of billions of dollars in pilfered wealth and broadcast images of the tens of thousands of Russian men fleeing their country to evade the draft. So during the depth of the Cold War, the West brought news and information to the Soviet bloc via shortwave radio transmitted by Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. Now Starlink represents a quantum leap that could bring the truth of what Putin is doing to the Russian people. Almost as important, a Starlink-based information campaign could inform Russians who silently oppose Putin that they are not alone. The biggest challenge to opening Russia to the Starlink network would be smuggling ground receiving stations into the country. The FSB, that's the Intelligence Security Service, which was the successor to the KGB there in Russia. The FSB will likely be alert to anyone who possesses such an appliance like a Starlink terminal. Fortunately, the methods exist for concealing them. The Russians would likely try to jam the signals coming from space. They might even try to destroy the Starlink satellites to prevent them from beaming the truth to Russians. In the event of that escalation, the United States Space Force should take countermeasures to prevent such an effort. SpaceX should be ready to rapidly replace Starlink satellites if they are taken out. The financing of such space-based information warfare, those kind of efforts needs to be decided in advance. In an apparent fit of public spiritedness, Musk offered Starlink services to Ukraine pro bono, which has been operational since February of 2022. And this is just shortly after Russia's invasion. Now, despite many predictions at the time, this conflict would be short-lived. The war had dragged on for now what seems to be 8 months. And when Musk recently pointed out that there was an effort imposing an immense burden on his bottom line, and he should not continue forever, that social media crowd descended on Musk with absolute fury. Although he's decided to continue footing the bill for Ukraine's access to the outside world, some arrangement should be made for others to take kind of the share of the cost. Similarly, an effort to get the truth into Russia via Starlink should be paid for by the United States with the help of European allies from the beginning. Which entity should pay for an information war against Russia? The Pentagon, the CIA, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty still exist and is supervised by the United States Agency for Global Media. It provides news to countries that lack a free press. The Starlink effort in Russia could be run under that program. The effort could eventually be expanded to every country that restricts internet access to its citizens. China is one such country. Starlink could breach the Great Firewall of China and bring the outside world to that country. Many people thought that the end of the Cold War meant that tyranny and oppression, at least on the great part of the great powers, had also ended. However, the United States and its allies find themselves involved in another long twilight struggle with new tyrants who grind down their people for their own gain. Information warfare, bringing the raw, unvarnished truth to people who live under the boot of tyranny, is one way of waging that struggle. And thanks to Musk, the world has access to Starlink, which could prove a potent weapon in the new Cold War. Again, that's according to Mark Whittington, writing for The Hill. This is such a fascinating idea. Think about the impact this one company is having on warfare and geopolitics and the competition between America and its adversaries in many different regions of the world. And this kind of brings me to the final piece of tonight's episode is, in fact, is Elon Musk and his private company coordinating efforts with America's national security apparatus. You know, you think about efforts taken under by intelligence agencies, whether that's the CIA or otherwise, and their mandate by the government to provide intelligence to their main customer, the President of the United States. There is this private company in such demand that it's just that now the CEO has the luxury of saying, you know, someone else could pick up the tab, or I don't know how long I can pay for this, but he's going to keep paying for it anyways. What kind of influence over policy could such an individual have? Now, I don't imagine a scenario where President Biden says, hey, Musk, could you know you point your Starlink over Iran and do that favor for me? I'd really appreciate it. And Musk just going along, sure, no problem, without wanting something, whether it's just pure dollars in mind or something greater in terms perhaps of a diplomatic approach to the situation. I mean, let's look at this simple example in Ukraine. Musk tweeted out a couple of scenarios for peace, a negotiated peace, you know, between Russia and Ukraine. And it honestly, I only remember reading about it early on. I would assume it's fair to say it's kind of fallen through and gone by the wayside. And perhaps it wasn't taken too tremendously seriously by either party, maybe even condemned. The point is, Musk might not just see himself as this very famous, well-known, and successful entrepreneur providing an incredible technology to the world, but rather it's like, look, if the governments of multiple countries aren't finding a peace in this conflict, maybe I can throw my hand to the ring and say, look, what if we do X, Y, Z? He is now, in a sense, saving Ukraine from destruction from Russia. Not the sole reason. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Obviously, Western support and the billions in terms of military hardware, technology, intelligence, targeting, etc., has helped Ukraine keep their head above water in this conflict between themselves and Russia. But there's no doubt that Starlink's internet coverage has forwarded Ukraine to this tremendous success. I would argue they are just a big part of that success, as much as, you know, a missile being launched from a Ukrainian's shoulder at a Russian helicopter, for example. I would argue that the ability to communicate between your command element and your tactical troops on the ground is just as important, if not more, than type of the armaments that individual squads and platoons and battalions are carrying on the battlefield. The point being, that is all being provided by this one privately owned company. Which brings me to this last and final point. If a company like Starlink is going to be such a influential component of national security in Eastern Europe, to what degree are they actually, the United States, the White House, and Elon Musk coordinating efforts? According to a report from YourActive.com, the Pentagon is actually considering to pay Elon Musk's Starlink satellite network in war-torn Ukraine. This is according to a couple of U.S. officials involved in the discussions. Now, the most likely source of funding would be the U.S. Department of Defense Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative, which was designed to support the country as it fights Russia. Now, Musk had said that SpaceX could not indefinitely fund Starlink in Ukraine, but, you know, like I mentioned earlier, he had to backtrack and, you know, said the rocket company would continue to pay for the fund, the service in the country. Now, there was a separate report in the Financial Times that said the European Union was also weighing funding Starlink in Ukraine, citing three officials with knowledge of the decision. Now, Musk, being this extremely successful individual, spends nearly about $20 million a month just for maintaining satellite services in Ukraine, and that company has spent about $80 million to enable the support Starlink there. That's the terminals that the actual individuals need to use the service. Musk tweeted, quote, "To be precise, 25,300 terminals were sent to Ukraine, but at present only about 10,630 are paying for service," right? So he's covering that in between. Now, Starlink has helped Ukraine's civilians, its military stay in line during the war. And like I mentioned earlier, the Ukraine's vice prime minister said that Starlink services help restore energy and communications infrastructure in critical areas. A report coming from Bloomberg, who had wrote that the Biden administration officials were actually concerned that Musk, his plan to buy Twitter, was in a deal part funded by non-U.S. investors, and his recent threat to pull the plug on the Starlink service to Ukraine, as well as the publication of a series of tweets containing proposals over the Ukraine conflict favorable to the Putin regime. The report said U.S. officials were concerned by Musk's plans to buy Twitter, and some of those non-U.S. investors, including the Saudi Arabian investor Prince Alawid bin Talad Al Saud, which is from the House of Saud, the main monarchy, the monarchy in Saudi Arabia is of the House of Saud. Also, Qatar Holding, which is part of the Qatar Investment Authority, and Binance, which is the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, whose holding company is registered in the Cayman Islands. So at the, these are a lot of these non-U.S. investors backing Musk for his purchase of Twitter. And it's those investors that's concerning the U.S. government. Now, at the time, the financial support of Musk co-investors was worth about $7 billion. The White House, however, just denied talk of a security review. The national security spokesperson, Adrian Watson, said, quote, "We don't know of any such discussions," end quote. So, obviously, the White House is not entirely unconcerned about Elon Musk and his influence over the situation to pull Starlink service out of Ukraine, as well as his ties to non-U.S. investors for his purchase of Twitter. Frankly, I imagine the purchase of Twitter's is not really the point. It's more like the influence of non-U.S. dollars influencing Musk in his purchase of one company and how he could be potentially leveraged for anything like Starlink that deeply affects American foreign policy abroad. And this brings me to kind of my last thought, and we'll call it an episode. It's, if in fact Starlink is having such an impact over American foreign policy, normally American foreign policy is created by many different groups within the national security apparatus, whether that's State Department, the White House, the Pentagon. But this one aspect of the success in Ukraine, the communications piece is entirely dependent, what would appear dependent, on a privately owned company by the richest man in the world. Is Musk himself in that inner circle creating American foreign policy? Should he be a part of that foreign policy since he has such a tremendous impact on it? These are really open-ended rhetorical questions because the debate should be had of whether a private citizen, not elected by anyone, could have such influence over what America is doing in Eastern Europe. I'm not saying I'm against it or for it. I just find it a fascinating development happening as we see this conflict unfolding in Eastern Ukraine. And I have to point out, privately held companies have long been a part of American foreign policy, whether it's building, you know, like Boeing, for example, building, you know, fighter jets, or, you know, 3M providing different materials for medical support on the battlefield, or Thales creating the radios, or Harris radios being carried by all these individual tactical units. Those are all privately owned companies, right? They provide a service that the government needs and national security needs. And Starlink really is no different. The difference is in this scenario, though, it's without Starlink as part of this Ukrainian equation, there would be probably a substantial less success on the battlefield, as well as the propaganda campaign that Ukraine's launching against Russia around the world without Starlink being present. So I hope you found this episode as informative and as fascinating as I did when I was looking at the research. There's going to be more to be determined in future instances of Starlink being used in other territories, whether that's Iran, North Korea, Cuba, etc. As always, I hope you are picking up what I'm putting down. Happy Halloween, everyone. I am Matt Parker. This is Brief Before Impact.